Hey, misadventurers, it's Kat Kruger, your DM at D20 Dames. In this episode, we return to the Shadowfell, where Rose Lau has been searching for her hero, Corsia Baofa, after her abbot from the Five Stars Monastery passed away during an escape. She set off to explore the mountain's caves, which turned out to be circuitous in ways that defied logic. And each day that she searched for Corsia, Rose found herself back in the same place. Eventually, the Shadowfell began to take hold, and she became forsaken. In her desperation, she asked for help from the unlikeliest of allies, her Nightmare Stone gloves. And that's where we pick up.
Rose is desperate. So desperate. How many days has this been?
Yeah, it's unclear, I think. When Rose asked for help, what came back was,
I thought you'd never ask.
And that is Gloves, the Nightmare Stone. And in that moment, everything goes completely dark.
What now?
What do you do, Rose?
Oh, is the dark. I immediately try to do my elemental attunement and try to just kind of make a little puff of flame. I think I've got a remnant of a torch or something in my bag and try to light it.
All right. As you do that, you know, you're just hearing like this, the sounds that usually come with it, but nothing actually happens. And Glove says,
"Did you want my help or not?" This is me helping.
How is it being completely dark when darkness usually trips me? Being helpful, trying to figure out where to go.
Well, better to trip than to walk around in circles, don't you think? Whatever magic that exists here is meant to deceive your eyes. You'll need to rely on your other senses to get out of this immediate area.
Oh. Okay. And I kind of, itch my ear. To clear the earway for sound.
All right, how do you want to proceed?
Rose is going to stand up and, feel the wall that's behind her that she's had at her back.
Mm-hmm.
And reach out with her right arm, off to the right side where she kind of remembers a wall being, mm-hmm. and shuffles carefully until she like touches it.
Okay. I am going to get you to make a survival check.
Okay. That is 11.
You shuffle around, and just as you think you're not going to be able to touch the other wall, your fingers brush up against it.
Oh, hey, it's a wall.
Mm-hmm.
I basically kind of like almost grab the wall with my hand. Just kind of like, oh, thank you. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to follow it forward.
So you keep your hand on the wall and you follow this cold mountain cave wall. Is there any point that you feel like you're going to stop, or are you just going to keep going until something hinders your movement?
I think what I'm going to first try to take note of is whether the wall itself feels like it is a different shape than the corridor that I remember looking at. Like if it had appeared straight, does it feel like it's curving or vice versa.
All right. Again, I think make another survival check.
Okay. 16.
Yeah, you are fairly certain that this is not following the pattern that you had followed the other night or day.
Okay. Okay, fine, gloves. Clearly something's different.
This is rather helpful, isn't it? So I think you would have gotten ahead much further if you had asked for my assistance earlier.
Well, thank you very much for helping me now.
You're quite welcome.
Do you have a sense of what I should be feeling for, smelling, hearing?
You're the one that's looking for your hero. I'm not a cartographer.
Really would have been nice if you were, but I understand.
As you're having this conversation, are you having the conversation out loud or in your mind with gloves?
I think at this point I'm having it out loud.
So if anybody was watching, it would just be Rose talking to herself.
Echoing down the empty corridors.
Yeah. So make a perception check for me.
Okay. Ooh. I mean, it's dark. There's a reason that I just rolled a 1, which even with perception, it would just be 4.
All right. So you keep going and you feel just like a gust of movement.
At what height? Like, by my head, by my...
You're unable to tell with that check.
Of course not. And at this point, I say in my mind, who's that?
Mitten says,
it wasn't me, though I can be helpful too.
In what way?
Well, if you need a companion... You can always call upon me.
Oh, always.
So you can conjure anything that's a CR6 or any creature that's CR6 or less is what Mittens is referring to. But as you're having this conversation, you hear a skittering sound.
I do, don't I? Oh, that's very much skittering. Is it behind me? It's behind me, isn't it?
You're unable to tell based on your check. What would you like to do?
Gloves or something here. Can I have my eyes back?
Oh, I suppose so. We must be somewhere different.
And then the magical darkness evaporates. It takes a moment for your eyes to adjust to the cave. You actually do have the torch that you had lit is actually lit.
Oh, good. Yes. Is any part of me on fire?
No.
Great. Okay. Dodge that one.
I need you to... make a wisdom saving throw.
Okay. 16.
So you, when the magical darkness fades away and your torchlight goes on, you see that you are in a cavern that you haven't been in before.
Yes,
it is an area that is filled with stalagmites.
Okay. Yes. New place. Cool things. I look around, do I see any source of the skittering sounds?
Make an investigation check.
Okay. 18.
You see something sort of peering around one of the stalagmites.
Mm-hmm.
It's a shadowy figure, and it says, "Are you lost?"
No.
I'm lost. I'm so very lost. Please, I'm so scared. I haven't been able to find my way in so very long. You're the first person I've seen here. And I don't even know how long. Can you help me? I'm lost.
What's your name?
I've been here for so long. I don't remember. What's your name?
I don't remember either.
Maybe you can help me. I need you to roll for initiative.
Mm-hmm. 14.
All right. And as you were in conversation with Mittens, did you have in mind to conjure something, or?
Actually, I think if a cave bear is okay, I'm in a cave.
Mm-hmm.
I would like a cave bear, please. Mittens, will you become a cave bear?
Of course.
And Mittens transforms into a cave bear. So you have this shimmering fey cave bear standing next to you.
You're so pretty.
And I will roll initiative for Mittens. All right, Rose, you get to go first.
Normally I don't like to throw the first punch. But I am getting very unsettled feelings here. What I'm going to do is use... kind of inspired by the draft that I had felt earlier. use Fist of Unbroken Air to try to push this shadow creature away.
Okay. Let me know what needs to happen here.
It needs to make a strength saving throw against and beat 13.
It got an 8.
That
what happens?
That is not enough. So if it fails, it gets bludgeoning damage, and I need to just roll some d10. And that 21 points of bludgeoning damage.
All right. So
and I believe it then gets pushed 20 feet away and knocked prone.
All right. So this creature, you just force this... it's a gust of air, right?
Yeah.
You force this gust of air towards the stalagmite where this creature is, and it pushes it back, flying through the air, and as you see it fly back 20 feet and land and smash its head and body against the cavern floor, you see that it is this monstrous looking creature with these hollow eyes that look sad and in distress, and it also has arms that are almost arachnid and pointy. And it lies on its back sort of skittering with its arms,
kind of like it fell down and it's trying to get back up.
Yeah, so it is prone at the moment, eyes still very focused on you.
I'd like to actually just try to hide behind another stalactite. Like, if it's looking at me, I want to, try to dash away and hide behind a stalagmite.
Okay.
Kind of trying to see if there's another way out, but then just also remembering that Gloves told me that my eyes might deceive me.
All right. I guess make another survival check to see if you can find a spot that. Actually, no. Make a stealth check.
Okay. 6. I tripped on a stalagmite, didn't I?
Probably.
That's what happens when I'm trying not to take my eyes off the big arachnid, sad type face creed. Thing.
Yeah. So this creature finally gets its bearings again, stands up, and begins to make its way toward you, but cannot make its way completely toward you.
Okay.
Now Mittens goes, and she sees that you've tripped, and she says,
"Don't worry, I've got this."
And she lunges toward the creature.
Mm-hmm.
She lets out this ferocious roar of a cave bear and charges forward and bites and claws. First bite hits. The claws unfortunately miss. And the creature, it looks like, you know, the Mittens found purchase, but it doesn't seem like she's done a lot of damage to whatever this creature is. It it seems like it's almost almost impervious to these attacks.
I mean, you did say it was shadowy. Like, does it seem like it's translucent or not quite incorporeal?
No, it was in the shadows, so it was shaded. It wasn't, okay. It's not actually made out of shadows. Okay. Yeah, so it is now your turn.
I'm going to pull myself up, and I think I'm going to try one more attack, and then I'm just going to try to run. like, I'm standing still far enough back, but kind of channeling the flame of the torch that I've now dropped because I fell. I'm going to kind of swing my arms at the creature and cast the Fangs of the Fire Snake. And ooh. So, I'm going to attempt to punch this thing, which I get an extra 10 feet of reach in attempting this, but I think I still have to roll to see if I hit.
Okay.
That is 22 to hit.
Absolutely.
So it basically, like, a flamey snake kind of comes out of my fist and deals fire damage to the creature for 4 points of damage. Very, very cool.
It looked real cool.
A little fire lick. because I was trying to avoid hitting Mittens as well.
Yes. So a little baby snake.
Pulled my punch a little bit more than perhaps I should have.
Yeah. So the snake flies out, and it does scorch this creature, and it continues its focus on you,
mm-hmm.
And just says, "Please, we're lost. We can be lost together."
I don't want to be lost together. Looking around, how far apart are these stalagmites from each other?
They're pretty randomly separated, okay. But there are quite a lot in this area. So, you know, if you were able to get cover, you would be able to, you know, find one within, you know, 10 feet mm-hmm. or 15 feet in any direction.
I actually want to try to climb one and then jump from the tops of one to the others.
Okay.
To get away.
Yes. very cool. All right, so is that your next action? Like, you're gonna...
Yeah, my next action would be, like, to try to climb one of these.
Okay. I will just ask you to...
Do strength?
Do
athletics?
Let's do athletics.
Okay.
I feel like with Rose, it's, like, the way a monk would move, I feel like it would be athletics.
Okay.
Or even acrobatics.
I do like acrobatics better than athletics. Mm-hmm. that would get me a 16 in acrobatics.
All right. Yeah. Kind of... So you're able to take whatever movement you have left to climb up.
Yeah. So I think I'd probably make it about 20 feet up. Yeah.
All right. All right.
They're also usually a little like slippery and minerally.
Yeah, exactly. You have climbed up, partway up a very tall stalagmite. And this creature decides that it is going to climb up after you.
Great.
And because this is, it's got these spidery limbs, it climbs up rather quickly, and it's right on your heels.
Oh, no.
And that's pretty much all it can do to get to you. Mittens lets out a roar and tries to climb up. She is less successful in her bear form. So she's you're sort of like sandwiched in now. You've mm-hmm. sandwiched in this creature. What would you like to do next?
Can I try kicking it in the face?
Mm-hmm.
Kick it in the face. that is an 18 to hit.
That hits.
Ooh, 9 points of foot damage to its face.
Bludgeoning damage.
Yes.
All right. Your kick doesn't really do that much damage.
Why won't you take this damage?
It, you know, your heel sort of cracks into the side of its face, and it just shakes its head and looks up at you with those sad, sad eyes and says, "Why are you doing this? I just need help. Please come back, come back, come back." Mm. And it reaches its spidery arms and attempts to embrace you.
Oh no.
You, in this embrace, it is attempting to grapple you, so I need you to do a check here.
Okay. Just roll a d20. And...
Yeah, it was a... I think you get to pick if it's strength or dexterity to get out of it.
Don't know that it really matters.
Okay.
It's maybe with strength, I try to kind of pull myself back, like pull myself a little higher up on the stalagmite. Yeah. But it's only a 10.
Yeah, what, unfortunately. Yeah, so its arms, these spindly arms just wrap around you. You are not only grappled, but because it's got these like pointy ends at the end of its arms, it's attempting to spike you with its arms.
It's like an impaling hug.
Mm-hmm.
Great.
That is a 17. Does that hit?
It definitely hits.
Okay. So it hits, and you take 19 points of piercing damage as all these little stabby bits of its arms pierce through you in its embrace. So you are...
Never did like acupuncture.
You are grappled. This sad-looking, desperate face is looking at you as it's got you in this horrible embrace, and until the grapple ends, you are considered frightened.
Mm-hmm. That tracks.
And you are going to take a bunch of psychic damage at the end of each of your turns until you can free yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Mittens, you can hear Mittens let out a low growl as she attempts to bite and claw at this creature again. First bite hits. Second bite claw also hits. Okay, so this creature, it's taking this bite and claw from this ferocious fey cave bear below you, and as it's actually taking these hits, it doesn't seem like it's again doing a lot of damage to the creature. However, when it takes the damage, it reacts by tightening its embrace on you. And you take 11 points of psychic damage.
Oh gosh. Mitten, stop!
Why? It's got you in this horrible, horrible embrace. I need to save you.
But when you hurt it, it hurts me.
No. No, no, no.
All right, Rose, how are you doing right now?
Oh, just God, I'm going to die alone.
Just as a point of Dungeon Master keeping here, how many hit points do you have left?
9.
Okay. So, yeah. You're going to need to free yourself from this grapple, or you're going to take more psychic damage.
I ask Gloves to make it dark again.
Okay. Gloves's initiative is actually on the same as Mittens, so
okay. Yeah, I think I'm gonna try to escape the grapple. I was just trying to figure out if like wriggling was going to just cause me more pain. And if there was just a way for me to like slip out of the like outer robe that I'm wearing or something that is
as you're probably thinking this in your head. And Gloves has access there. Gloves says,
I can still be helpful after all. You do remember that. Well, with me in your possession, you can face through things, can't you?
Oh my gosh. Yep. Let's phase through this. Let's phase out of this. Worst thing that happens is I get stuck in a piece of rock.
All right, so you need to make a charisma saving throw.
Okay. Oh.
And which way are you phasing? Are you trying to phase through the stone or through the creature?
What I am picturing is that I had been holding on to the stalagmite. As it embraced me, it kind of pulled me back from the stalagmite. So I'm like not really, I'm more leaning against it than touching the stalagmite, and I want to try to phase sideways out
through
the like thinnest part of its spiky arms. But then if I fall into the ground and haven't finished phasing, then I'm just stuck in the ground. Okay, Charisma, come on. 16.
Yeah, you are able to phase through. And what do you want to do after this action?
I want to run.
Yes.
I will actually, just on the chance that I need it, I will use my Step of the Wind ability to disengage. And then just bolt.
Dash, okay. Yeah. Well, I suppose you still need to climb so that, because you have to climb down, so that takes...
Oh, right. By step of the wind, I mean slide down the stalagmite. Slide of the wind.
Yeah. So I think it sort of cancels each other out
Yeah.
so that it just like it gets you down faster, but
Yeah.
not ahead of this creature.
Right.
All right. So the creature looks down at you, surprised, and says, "Why won't you help me? I'm so lost.
You hurt me.
I'm just trying to get closer to someone. It's been so long." And it tries to move past Mittens. So Mittens gets an opportunity attack. And she bites, is able to find purchase. But again, the bite attack doesn't do very much in terms of damage to this creature. And it lands next to you, and it's going to attempt to just arms spike you.
No,
Just like
no spikies.
one spike and then another. 17 and another 17 to hit.
Both of
So
those
both
hit.
of them hit. All right.
No.
Huh. Okay, so it does exactly 9 piercing damage. So Rose, you sort of collapse from the second arm that kind of pins through your shoulder, and you pass out in that moment.
Oh, look, it's dark again.
Yes. And of course, because you're unconscious, you do not know what is happening. I do want you to make one death saving throw.
Okay.
And remember, it
I
is
have
at
disadvantage.
disadvantage.
Oh, you've got to be kidding me. Well, they both were the same, so at least it wasn't. There's seven. So I can't add anything to that, right? Just
No.
seven.
So that fails.
Okay.
And you don't know how much time passes. You sort of vaguely hear some clashing and growling and screeching. I'm gonna get you to do another death saving throw.
Okay. 11.
That one makes it.
Oh, thank goodness.
Now, all of a sudden, in your unconscious state, you have this vague awareness that things have become really quiet.
So
And
peaceful.
your consciousness sort of you kind of come in and out of consciousness, and you feel yourself, your body being moved. During this time, you get these echoes coming at you again from the material plane. You hear Riot's voice, you hear Lariah, you hear a number of events occurring in the material plane, and they slowly build toward something catastrophic there. You get a sense that they have made their way to the Daggerford Tower.
Right, here's the thing though. I think scared mostly because I don't know what's in that tower and you don't know the whole truth.
that they fought off a Froghemoth.
We should maybe not go this way. This, that, there's a Froghemoth under the sun.
A skeleton army.
Mm.
Right, you're infernal, right? Like, that, you must be able to, like, say a hell prayer and, like, you know, make skeletons do stuff, right?
Say a hell prayer?
Okay.
They met Emre, but Emre...
I've been looking for you for a long time.
...had been turned into a revenant that wanted to kill Karen.
It's all your fault.
There were these monstrous demons up against them.
Oh, my army is almost gone. I can see bone, and you know it's not what it's called happening. Oh my god.
A shadow demon, a fiery portal, and then it all culminates into an explosion in the tower.
Karen, I'm sorry. Glacia, please help me.
Children, you never cease to disappoint.
And as you're having these flashes from the material plane, your eyes sort of open for a brief moment, and you see what you think is a white dragonborn, just the profile, before you black out again. And I want to go back into your childhood here for a moment. While you were still very young and an apprentice with the tailor, the abbot would visit, and on one of his visits, he actually brought a young white dragonborn with him. The dragonborn sort of hid behind the abbot. He was very awkward and shy, about your age. And it was very clear to you that everyone in the village was looking at him because he was so different. The rest of the village, it was mostly human, was it?
Yeah. You know, some, probably, I think there were some elves and dwarves, but mostly human.
Mm-hmm. So, he sort of stuck out. And he did not want the attention on him. But he saw you, and you were both, close in age, and he just gave you a little smile.
And I smiled and waved back.
The abbot went about his business with the tailor, and this dragonborn sort of waited at the door. But then saw people were staring in at him, and then tried to hide behind the garments that were waiting for pickup, and sort of crashed into it a little bit, and then got yelled at by the tailor.
I ran over and kind of tidied stuff up and gave him another smile, letting him know it's okay.
He tried to help, but he was so anxious about everything that he just kind of made things worse.
It's okay. I got this.
Thank you. Everyone's staring.
There's not a... I don't know that they've ever seen a dragonborn before.
I mean... I don't even know what to say about that. There's lots of dragonborns where I'm from.
I mean, that just means that you're special here.
He sort of grimaces at that and says, I kind of wish I was just regular though, you know? Like, super ordinary.
Why?
Well, because then nobody would expect so much from me.
Do you feel like you're a burden?
No, I feel like I have so much to live up to. You know, on account of having dragon blood in me or whatever. You know what I mean?
Not really.
Well, thanks for treating me like a normal villager.
You're welcome.
I won't forget this. What's your name?
I'm Rose.
I'm Valorian.
Good to meet you. And maybe it's okay if you just live a life. You're the one that's living it. Not anybody else.
He nods. I'll try. And then the abbot sort of collects his things, smiles down at you, Rose, and says, "Come along, Valorian." And they exit. And you wake up in the cave. It's a different cave. And before I describe this cave, I want you to level up.
I don't know if I've ever leveled up while being unconscious.
What happened with Rose during her level up here?
Let's see. I gained evasion.
That would have been handy.
That would have been great.
So handy.
That would have been fantastic about 30 minutes ago or 5 days ago, however long it's been. I have no idea. But it gives me the instinctive ability to dodge out of the way of certain area effects. I mean, I guess it's area effects, not
okay.
Not creature.
Not creep effects.
Grabbing, stabbing, hugging. And then I also gain stillness of mind, which I can use this action to end an effect on myself that is causing me to be frightened or charmed.
That one would have been helpful.
These are all things I gained from my experience.
Yes.
From being stabbed. Now I know how to get out of it.
Absolutely makes sense that, yes, that Rose picked these things up.
Oh, yeah. Yep. These are the natural next steps of having met creepy arachnid pokey thing. I can now meditate myself out of being psychically damaged.
Oh, gosh. We're going to pick up now. So, Rose, you wake up in a completely different cave. It is a smaller cave. It has this bioluminescent lichen clinging to its damp walls, and you hear this faint sort of drip, 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 drip noise. And you are comfortably spread out next to a fire, a campfire.
Warmth.
And on the other side of it is the white dragonborn that you had sort of caught a glimpse of as your body had been transported, what you can assume was transported here.
No. I kind of jolt in a start and sort of try to sit up quickly. We'll see how successful I am there.
Yeah, the white dragonborn quickly comes over. You see that he is dressed as a monk from the Five Stars Monastery. And he comes over and gently puts a hand on your shoulder and says, "Are you all right?"
I think so. How did I get... Did you bring me here?
Yes, I heard terrible noises from the other cave, and I somehow sensed it was you.
I give him a quizzical look, and I know you. I think.
He smiles, and he says, "To be honest, I cheated a little. I sent a clairvoyant sensor over. I'm Valorian."
Are you Shadowfell Valorian or Valorian Valorian?
That is an excellent question. I believe I am Valorian Valorian.
But you're not sure.
I've been here for a long time. I've been charged to protect this meditation cave for you.
For me?
Yes. Reverend Cheater said that you would be coming. I didn't realize it would take 10 years.
I didn't know I was coming here until, like, a couple days ago.
Well, I'm glad we were both in the dark then. He smiles.
Ugh, dark. Yeah. Wait, do you move around the caves here, or do you just stay here in this one?
Just, he sort of motions to the small cave, and he just says, "Just this space here. Usually things out there are not real."
That felt real.
Well, there are always exceptions. My task, though, is to stay here, protect the meditation cave for your arrival, and assist in your escape.
Oh. Great. And immediately the first thing Rose thinks is like, wait, how do you eat? Do you need food? I think I have some jerky. Maybe even a bagel.
He just sort of lifts his hand up and says, I have means of getting back and forth to the material plane. Food is sent here from the monastery. I should probably explain.
Yeah. Oh. Yes. Also, Reverend Teacher has died.
He looks visibly saddened by this news. But then he says, as he squeezes your shoulder, "Yes, he mentioned that would happen."
He really knew a lot of stuff.
Apparently so. Well, let me tell you, 10 years. I've been here. There were many predecessors here who laid the groundwork for this meditation cave where we now stand, or sit. And he smiles at you. They were all sent by the abbot. We were told to await the arrival of the Rose Dragon.
That's the nickname my friends gave me.
It suits you.
I kind of, like, squint in his direction, but indicate that I'm listening.
You have a very heroic task ahead of you, and Reverend Teacher spent a lot of time, a lot of effort ensuring you would be successful in your quest. As much as one can prepare for the future, which is the present now.
Yeah.
Isn't it?
I guess.
You seem troubled.
Is this part of the pressure you once talked to me about? That you felt?
You can see that his cheeks are sort of flushing a little under the white scales. And he looks down and says, "You remember that, do you? I was young."
I think we both were. And
yes.
You still were the first Dragonborn I had met.
Well, I hope I lived up to your expectations. You were very kind to me that day. I hope I can repay the kindness.
I think you already have. Yeah. Looking around, and the fact that I'm not currently in a spiky hug grasp. yeah. I think you very much repaid my kindness.
My task here is far from being done. What is your plan? You don't have to tell me, because I'm just here to help you.
I'm trying to find Corsia, but I don't know how to navigate caves that follow no physical geographic logic to a place that I don't actually know where she's at. Like, I don't even know which direction she's supposed to be.
Well, as it so happens, our reverend teacher foresaw this, and well, I'm sort of a cartographer, if you will.
No way.
He looks a little shy at this. He says, "I have a lot of time here, and this cave, it has a bunch of magical properties, one of which is I can cast clairvoyance every once in a while and see what's out there. Explore without putting myself or this entire quest in danger."
That's amazing.
Yes. My predecessors, they infused a lot of magic into this cave, and I am now attuned to it, so I can cast clairvoyance, identify, sending, and most importantly to you, plane shift.
What now? Wow.
That's how we're going to get back. We also stand in this cave protected by the Hallow spell, which provides us all with courage. Not that I doubt your courage.
No, I could definitely use a little extra courage right now. I've been alone for a long time and was pretty sure I was going to die alone in that cave back there.
That would have been catastrophic.
Yeah, I definitely wouldn't have liked it.
Would you care to meditate with me before you continue your quest?
Certainly.
He smiles and sort of like gets up and then dusts off his mat. And he says, I don't presume to know all of your powers, but perhaps through this meditation, I can I can gift you with something.
Ooh.
Something that should help overcome any sort of Shadowfell. They call it despair.
Please lead the meditation. Less despair would be great.
He settles down on his mat and he just lets out these, it's sort of like yogic breaths. So he leads you in this breathing, but his breathing, because he has a breath weapon, he shows off a little. And when he exhales, there's like a bit of like cold, frosty snowflake mist that comes out of his mouth. And he kind of opens up one of his eyes to see if you're looking.
I breathe in and breathe out and try to light my torch on fire.
He lets out a little laugh and says, "No, but for real this time." So he leads you into this very intense meditation. And basically hours pass. And
I mean, what is time even right now anyway?
Mm-hmm. So you are doing this breathing in the cave. You're sort of feeling like the magical essence around you. You're feeling a state of calm and courage. And after 8 hours of meditating with Valorian, you gain the feat, which is a feat that I think we both sort of talked about creating here for Rose, because she's been practicing meditation this whole time. So this feat I'm calling Calming Presence.
Cool.
Yes. It is similar to the ritual caster feat, but you specifically learn the Calm Emotions spell, and your spellcasting ability for this is Charisma.
Okay.
So yeah, at the end of this meditation, he opens his eyes and looks over at you.
My eyes are still closed.
You hear him walking over to you, and then you sense his presence next to you, kneeling down, and he just sort of breathes like a puff of cold air on your face.
I'm awake.
I think we're done.
Okay, thank you.
I appreciate your time, and I hope that something has come of it.
I think I probably feel a little calmer. And I think I can feel it like emanating from myself a bit more than it had been previously. Like previously, the calmness I was feeling was from the security of this cave.
He says to you, "Now, about that map, I am an amateur, so here." And he takes a rolled up map and hands it over to you, and he looks over at you kind of expectantly.
I unfurl the map. "Thank you, but you know, don't sell your skills short. Being the only cartographer here in this cave, like..."
"I should be selling them, is what you're saying."
"Potentially. Though I don't know you get too many customers."
You'll do, he says, and just sort of awkwardly points over at the spot where you are on the map.
Mm-hmm. How convenient. There's a nice little yellow dot of here. You are here.
And he just sort of like winds his clawed finger around the map and shows you the path to Corsia. It is not very far away. He then says, your voice was the first one I've heard in a while, but before that, not too far from the present, I think, I heard another voice. So I sent my sensor into the room where Corsia is, and there was a sapling.
I smile, thinking about Bud.
But then the sapling was gone. So maybe I shouldn't have mentioned that, because maybe that was just in my head. I will be quiet now.
Oh no. Bud is very much a memorable character that no imagination could imagine it to being.
You're friends with the treant.
Yeah.
Sapling treant.
Yeah. Me and my companions are friends with the sapling treant. I'm actually the one that pulled him out of the cave.
Oh. You have quite powerful power then. And he's just like nodding and...
Well, I think that was a one-time deal.
Well, I have plane shift, and when you're able to free Corsia, I can be of service again.
Yeah, see, you have plane shift. That is a multi-use feature. Don't sell yourself short.
Well, as I say, my predecessors infused this cave. I'm just the guardian.
Thank you so much. Do you recommend I follow this path with my eyes closed, or...
Why would you do that?
It was something I was trying earlier.
Oh, yes, there's that cave of illusions that, yeah, that trips people up all the time.
Oh.
Yeah.
We're not in that anymore?
No, you're good. You follow this path and you should be able to find Corsia. You've managed to get past the biggest dangers here.
Oh, good. And I'm glad that you're here.
I'm glad that you're here too. And then he just sort of rubs the back of his head and walks to the other side of the fire. I guess this is goodbye for now, but I'll be here.
Yeah, I'll see you soon. It's not goodbye. It's I'll see you in a bit.
Yes.
And you know where I'm going, so you can, if I'm not back in some weird amount of time, I'm not even sure how long I've been down here, you can, you know, clairvoyant your way and check on me if you really have to.
All right, that's great. I was going to ask. I didn't want to creep on you with a sensor, you know.
Yeah, that's fair.
Okay. I guess all I can say is none of us know really what happens next. The abbot never said. He was afraid of giving too many details so that future might not happen, that sort of theory.
Well, he always did like his strategy games, and it seems he's put all of the pieces in the right place.
Yes, I think so. I just don't know what happens next, so be careful. The Shedder Kai, the Raven Queen, they are much more dangerous than what you faced in the Cave of Illusions, and I just want you to take care.
Thank you.
And he nods and starts stoking the fire, even though he doesn't need fire.
Thank you again. And if it makes you feel any better, I haven't known what any of this path was supposed to be. But I still got here. So I think we'll get out of here.
I trust you, Rose Dragon. And he smiles over at you.
Thank you, Valorian. And I head out into the non-illusion caves.
All right. How do you proceed down the non-illusion cave? I'm assuming you have your torch with you.
I have my torch. I have my map. I am checking. I have all my stones on my on my staff. We are good.
Oh, I should also mention that your Shadowfell Despair is now gone.
Oh, woot! That is lovely news. I'm going to go take that off before I forget. I'm not alone.
Mm-hmm. So you are restored. You have leveled up. You have made a friend in Valorian. And you are making your way down this corridor. What are you feeling knowing you're so close to actually coming face to face with Corsia?
A little bewildered. And, like, in some ways this is just a dream. This is probably just a dream.
All right, so you walk down a dark corridor and eventually you make your way through this dark network of tunnels. Then you enter a now familiar cavern where the bones of a long dead dragon frame the space below it. The only light comes from a glow emanating off a set of manacles, illuminating the face of Corsia Baufa. Hey everyone, it's Kat again. Thanks for joining us on our misadventure, and special thanks to Maris Mullally for reprising her role as Rose Lau. If you listened to our last episode or follow us online, you'll know we ran a book giveaway for 3 copies of A Kid's Guide to Fandom by Amy Radcliffe, thanks to Running Press Kids Books. The winners are being announced in our newsletter, and they'll be contacted by email, so look for that in your inbox. As always, if you'd like to get in touch with us, you can find all our social media links at d20dames.com. Anyway, that's it for now. Until next time, Misadventure awaits.
D20 Dames is a production of Misadventure Awaits. Our theme song is by Middlelessence. Support us on Patreon at patreon.com/d20dames.